Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 147. Kanan Loomis, you are running for mayor of Hamilton. Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast.
Thank you, Joe. Good to see you.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about why you are running.
As I said, over the last 10 years, being the voice of business in Hamilton and raising a family, I grew sick and tired of banging my head against the wall at City Hall. And we have come a long way over the last decade, and I have been privileged to be an important contributor to that as the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. But everything that we have accomplished has been through the hard work of individuals, institutions, organizations, not-for-profits, businesses, and all the progress that we have achieved has been in spite of our leadership at City Hall. And when I look at the massive challenges that we have, but also the incredible opportunities that we have, we need real generational change at City Hall.
What are four of your priorities? Why are they your priorities, and how will you implement them?
Well, first and foremost, we need to restore truth, trust, and transparency at City Hall. That's, as I said, one of the primary reasons why I am running. I have been really, really disgusted with how things have evolved over the last term of council, starting with Pride 2019, Sewergate, you know, the list goes on. And it's become an embarrassment to the city and a real impediment to progress. And so we need to have culture change at City Hall, because if we can't accomplish that, it's hard to accomplish anything else. The second thing we need to do is grow Hamilton smartly. So Hamilton is a desirable place to live. We know that we have a cost of living challenge, an affordability crisis, and we need to build more homes in Hamilton, and we need to do so within the current urban environment and while creating jobs as well for those newcomers to the city. The third thing we need to do is create a more responsive City Hall. People are sick and tired with the lack of responsiveness that they get from their city. It's hard to figure out where to go if you have an issue with the city. And so one of the things we have proposed is to create a 311 system for Hamilton. Hamilton is the largest city in Canada without a 311 system. And then the final thing is a safe, clean, and healthy Hamilton. As I said, Sewergate was one of the big issues for me, was a major impetus for me to determine that I was going to run for mayor. And I'm focused on leaving a city that is safer, cleaner, and healthier for my children than it is right now.
Let's turn to intergovernmental affairs and use a specific issue you will need to negotiate this term of council to illustrate your approach and philosophy. The city of Hamilton owns the land that is Burlington's LaSalle Park. This piece of land has sparked numerous emotional disputes between the cities of Hamilton and Burlington. Threats of fencing off the property were common from Hamilton during the 1970s and 80s. Even after a 40-year lease was signed in 1983, absurd posturing has occurred at regular intervals since. The lease expires on December 30th, 2022. What is your position regarding the lease, and how will you conduct yourself during talks?
First and foremost, you know, I have to go back to the relationships that I have built across the harbor, in this case, outside of Hamilton. We were, as the Chamber of Commerce, we helped create the Bay Area Economic Summit in conjunction with Burlington, understanding that we, as a census metropolitan area for Hamilton, have a lot of shared challenges and opportunities as communities. And so I've been proud of all the relationships that I've built in Burlington, particularly in Burlington City Hall and with Mayor Marianne Mead Ward. And I think that, you know, the very first thing I need to do is understand exactly where we are in the course of these negotiations. You say that the lease is up at the end of December of this year. And of course, I take office November 15th. So that doesn't leave us with a whole lot of time. And I'm assuming that there's a lot of work that's been put into this. So I need to sit down with city staff and understand where exactly we are in that negotiation process. It is weird to think about the fact that Hamilton owns LaSalle Park, and I think that most people are surprised by that fact, even probably people that live near LaSalle Park. So I think that it makes sense that we as a city do not, you know, continue to spend resources related to that part of the city of Burlington. And I think it's perfectly reasonable for them to want to have full control over that land. I think that we need to understand where it is we might have some things that we want to get out of the city of Burlington as well, and talk about the trade-offs that we can make in terms of coming to a resolution. But, you know, of all the issues and challenges that we have to, that we face as a community, this seems to be, you know, among the lowest priorities. And I think that it's just important that we, you know, make sure that this doesn't blow up into something much bigger, which is let's avoid petty squabbling between the two communities and get this over with, and then focus on the types of things that we need to continue to do going forward that are really important, related to the environment, related to our economy, related to our transit systems, and all of that. So we've got to make sure that we get off on the right foot when it comes to relationships with our neighboring communities, and let that relationship blossom from there.
The city of Hamilton's financial situation is concerning. Recent councils have drained the city's reserves. When the federal government recently gave the city of Hamilton a one-time $30 million infusion of funds for infrastructure, the money was split into $2 million for each of the 15 councilors to spend on political ward initiatives during this election cycle. The future fund, well, it may not have any future left, having been spent instead of invested. All of this is to say you have a difficult budget ahead of you. There will be a significant tax increase for the coming 2 years to maintain current services. Even if we are able to find efficiencies, those savings are years away. How are you approaching this coming budget, and what are your budget priorities?
Yeah, thank you for that, Joey. Certainly, over the last couple of councils at least, the council has underinvested in this community, looking to keep taxes down as low as possible and not keeping up with the cost of living. And that has led to a problem in which we have a massive infrastructure deficit and we have this budget crunch. I think people understand and they know that what is coming. We have been told what is coming. And the fact that, you know, people understand out there, first of all, they understand that we have high taxes and people complain about that for sure. But they understand that the city has the same sort of cost pressures that we as individuals have, and that a fairly substantial tax increase is on the horizon. And I think it's important as a leader in this community to explain that to people and to deliver, you know, the bad news as well as the good news that we have to deliver. And so this is bad news, obviously. What we need to do, though, is you mentioned this, that we are not spending as efficiently or as effectively as we can. And all we have to do is look to the auditor's report from last year, Charles Brown, in terms of how we procure road resurfacing projects, and understand that from that, because one of the other things that everybody is complaining about is the state of our roads and our infrastructure in this community. And we point out the fact that we have a City of Hamilton employee, the auditor, who has gone through that procurement process in that realm of the city's management and said that there are 25 things that we can be doing better with the procurement of our roads. So you look at that and you understand the dynamics. One of them is that, you know, we're paying contractors for shoddy asphalt, and we know it's shoddy because we're testing it as they put it down, and it's not meeting our standards, and yet we're paying them for it, and we're inviting them to bid on the next project. And so as a result, we're getting 5 years of life out of a repaving project as opposed to the 10 to 15 that we're supposed to. So you just think that's one narrow aspect of what the city is doing, and how if we open up the aperture for the auditor and unleash the auditor on all the other aspects in which the city is procuring, we can find efficiencies there and be spending the taxpayer dollars more wisely. The other aspect to this is that we need to grow the taxpayer base. So this is why we're promising to build 50,000 new homes in Hamilton within the current urban boundary, so that we bring in more ratepayers into already serviced land. And the other aspect to this is growing the economy, not only growing the residential tax base, but the commercial tax base as well. And that's how we're going to, over time, dig out of the infrastructure deficit and keep our tax increases as low as possible.
Transparency. The City of Hamilton has one of the worst records for freedom of information processing of any Ontario municipality. I am confident you wish to fix that. So let's discuss a specific example, the mayor's office. The city recently restructured its record systems to ensure that freedom of information does not apply to the mayor's office, as the records are no longer, quote, in the custody and control of the municipality. What are your thoughts on the mayor's office and freedom of information?
The mayor is the chair of the board of directors of the corporation of the city of Hamilton. To me, that sounds like very much the mayor's office is under the umbrella of the city of Hamilton and needs to abide by the Freedom of Information guidelines. And, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Those records are records that belong to the shareholders of the corporation, which is all of the residents of this community. And we need to be able to hand those over just as we would or any other department within the city of Hamilton must as well. To me, I don't understand why there's a difference between the mayor's office and every other department in the city.
Politics can be contentious. Political debates can and should be contentious at times. The lack of decorum at Hamilton City Council is embarrassing, but it's not only decorum that is a problem. Councillors do not follow the rules of procedure, they speak over each other, and they play politics until all hours of the morning. I'm going to play an audio clip from a council meeting. Please listen.
Just a reminder that this is an opportunity to question the delegates,
so
not to
you,
be
Chair,
making
do
comments.
Do you agree with what I just said? Very much so.
We can play that game all day, and it will end up that we will be here at 3 in the morning. But
so
that's
point
questions,
order,
please only. And
point
I apologize
order,
for this,
Madam
but
Chair.
Councillor Partridge.
Point
yes,
of order,
thank
Madam
you.
Chair.
Point of order. Point of order. The point of order is
I'm
the question.
Next on
the list.
Councillor Whitehead. No. Councillor Whitehead.
If it's a speech,
Councillor Whitehead. I have the chair. Councillor Farr and Councillor Green. Everybody, we're going to have a long day ahead of us. Tone down. Questions for? I apologize,
down,
by the way.
Point of order.
And thank
apologize.
You, Madam
and
Chair. I do
Councilor
believe
Partridge.
I have the floor. Thank you.
As mayor, you will chair meetings. How do you plan to manage meetings as the head of council to achieve results and inspire public confidence?
Yeah, that is definitely an example of what we do not want to have going forward within those council chambers. That is an embarrassment. It's just one clip of, you know, day in, day out, the same thing happening. And what we have to understand, and I think most people do, is that that's like the tip of the iceberg. And we know that the vast majority of the iceberg is underneath the surface. So all of the stuff that happens outside of the microscope that is the Hamilton City Council meetings, that where you're there and cameras are there, all of that that you just played is a manifestation of everything that happens behind the scenes over the course of the weeks, days, months, and years that these folks are together. And the fact of the matter is that the mayor must control how people work together. As I said, the mayor is the board chair and has to ensure that people are working collegially. And we don't have to all agree. There's no expectation that we are going to have 100% unanimity on every single issue, but we need to do so in a respectful way. And so we set that out, first of all, on day one, which is not November 15th, but October 25th, when we know who is going to be representing each ward and who's going to be in the mayor's office, and we start building those relationships there. We have an incredible opportunity, and this is what I'm most excited about, is that we're going to have at least 7 new faces around that council table, and that's really important. But that means that you have a very short window of time, 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever, to ensure that we are dealing with each other in a respectful manner and that we will continue to do so going forward, and we make it understood that we will not be carrying on as previous councils have, and that things are going to be different. And that, again, we don't have to all agree, but we must do so respectfully. We are going to update the code of conduct for councilors. We're going to read a mayor's statement of respect before every single council meeting so that we can go back to that if things do go off the rails, so to speak. I mean, that's something that I learned from Mayor Walter Senzik of St. Catharines, who's a friend of mine and who has really done a good job in creating a better atmosphere of decorum in City Hall. And so there's all kinds of other things that we can do for sure, and we must manage, and not just, again, the mayor just can't sit back and allow things organically to happen. And that's what's happened. That's why things have spiraled out of control. But one of the, and I haven't really, you know, talked about this over the course of the campaign, but I'm really interested in governance. I love governance. I've said before, I find governance sexy. And this is, as I said, you know, I'm coming at this as the mayor being the board chair. But I think it's really important that we have consistency from the chair in those meetings. And I think part of the issue is that every single month we have a different chair. And, you know, every person has their own way of dealing with things. I would really love to explore the idea of having a speaker, somebody who is the voice of council and of decorum, and who can make sure that we have consistency from month to month to month as we carry out the business of the city of Hamilton. So that's something that I want to talk about after October 24th. Most people won't appreciate how much of a change that may represent and may bring to city council meetings, but it's something that I've been thinking about for a while.
I'm going to play an audio clip of Ward 11 Councillor Brenda Johnson speaking at the November 9th, 2021 council meeting. Please listen.
We're all congratulating each other. I really want us to also maybe start focusing on some of the visitors that come into City Hall, and specifically developers that have come into City Hall. I have complained about several of them. They fell on deaf ears, and I'm hoping now we can have our eyes wide open to everyone in stopping the bullying that's been happening. Thank you.
What will you do to stop the bullying, harassment, and violence which occurs at Hamilton City Hall?
Again, I think this goes back to making sure that everybody understands the code of conduct and what the expectations are of us as leaders and as employees of the city of Hamilton representing the citizens of this community. And again, I think it all starts at the top. We see the biggest and most obvious signs of bullying happening on council. And so that's where the tone is set for the entire city, and everything trickles down from there. If we hold ourselves accountable and if we act accordingly on council, and again, make it completely understood that things are going to be different going forward, then that permeates down through the rest of the city of Hamilton. And you ensure that the city manager is empowered to the bullying is happening within the civil service, that is dealt with as well. And I hear lots of stories of that, but you know, we have an HR manager that is able to and should be empowered to deal with those situations. But it's hard for us as a council to tell the city manager, to tell the HR director to deal with this when we can't deal with our own stuff. So we have to make sure, again, that the tone is set from the top and that we're holding ourselves to a higher standard. That's what we have to do. That's part of, you know, what we're promising is aiming higher for Hamilton as a candidacy. And that will all permeate down through, and everybody else will be held accountable and held to those standards as well.
As mayor, you have an office budget of approximately $1.25 million. The reason is simple. You personally only have so much time in the day. As mayor, you need staff to assist in the role. How do you plan to allocate that budget, and what measurable outcomes will your staff achieve?
That's one of those things that if you allow your mind to drift past the election, you do start to think about, you know, what can be accomplished. That's another aspect of this that's really exciting to me is, well, I've said my vocation is leadership, and I think I've demonstrated that I'm really good at organizational management. And what is so interesting here is that the size of the mayor's office is about the size of the Chamber of Commerce. And you look at what I did there in that organization, basically starting from scratch with very few resources. But what we were able to do is hire incredibly talented people. And you saw that with your own eyes over the course of the last decade, just the amazing talent that I was able to bring into the Chamber of Commerce and how impactful that was for our members and in this community. The Chamber of Commerce, a small organization with a small budget, actually had an outsized influence in the progress that the city has experienced over the last decade. And I'm really, really proud of that. And so you look at that, and that's exactly what I'm going to do within the mayor's office, is make sure I surround myself with talented people. We got to make sure that we have a great amount of diversity on that team and the right expertise as well. So you need policy folks, you need communications folks. I'm really interested in exploring and having legal support within the mayor's office, which I think is really important for in any direct board of directors. The board must have its own legal advice different than the legal advice of the organization and of the executive of the organization. And right now we don't have that. We're all relying upon the advice of the city solicitor. I think it's important to have somebody who understands the budget of the organization as well. That requires a specific skill set. In doing all of this, it's a little bit of alchemy. but you also have to make sure that we have a good work environment, one in which everybody's happy and fulfilled and really excited to come to work. And I don't think we have that right now. And I think that's been a problem for a long time. But again, the tone is set at the top, and we are going to have an incredible mayor's office. And I think that that's really going to help change how things are done in City Hall. And I'm really excited about it, but you can't be spending too much time thinking about post-election. We got to get elected first. But I think that this is one of the things that I'm most excited to get to on October 25th.
Strong mayor powers. The city of Toronto and Ottawa will begin this term of council with strong mayors, leaving Hamilton as the next largest single-tier municipality without those powers. Key to strong mayor powers is an accountability structure which enables the mayor to formally direct the city manager, select committee chairs, and set the initial municipal budget proposal. What are your thoughts on the strong mayor powers regulations proposal published by the province?
So I've been asked this a lot, and it really is a hypothetical. First of all, we've only just recently seen the regulations. It's really hard to figure out how they're going to actually be implemented in Toronto and Ottawa. And then as well, Hamilton isn't even contemplated at this point in time in the provincial legislation. They haven't talked about Hamilton at all in Queen's Park. So as I said repeatedly on the campaign trail, that I announced that I was going to run for mayor in January. I filed my papers on May 2nd. This is well before there was any talk of strong mayor powers. So to me, it doesn't change my approach. What we must do is be able to govern by consensus as a board, as a council. And that to me is going to be the most important thing. Having a strong mayor power doesn't change the fact that we must change the tone and tenor at City Hall. And the only way to do that is by ensuring that we have respect and we have consensus in how we carry out the business of the city.
I've interviewed over 50 candidates this election. People have stepped up to serve their community. Those interviews reveal that improving our parks is one of the most important and consistent ward-level issues. This got me to thinking. Many of Hamilton's greatest parks were designed and implemented by the former Parks Board, a former citizen board which enabled residents to contribute to the governance of Hamilton. What are your thoughts on reestablishing the citizen boards and committees which existed in the past before their disbandment in the latter half of the 20th century?
Well, I think what we need to do before we contemplate new committees and boards and all of that is address the ones that we have currently, because they are, in many cases, an absolute mess. You know, you look at the Waterfront Trust, you look at the market, you look at so many of the Committee of Adjustments. There's a number of things that need to be addressed within the currently existing committee structure. A lot of people will need to go, and we need a good amount of turnover on these committees so that these committees do reflect more broadly the experience and the demographics of this community. And there's a lot of old established thinking on these committees that we need to get rid of. So when people are looking at the city and frustrated at how things are run, they're not just looking at council, and they're not just saying we need turnover at council. We need turnover everywhere within the city purview. So I think that once we address that and some of the terms of reference for each of these committees and making sure that they're working well and that they're serving the taxpayers effectively, then we can start talking about some of these other things where, you know, we don't have enough citizen engagement and input into some of the other aspects of the city's governance.
It's 2026. The Public Record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council, and what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
So for me as a mayor, the first word that comes to mind is effective. I have, on the campaign trail, provided a very detailed platform, and I have also laid out some very specific goals. So building 50,000 homes in Hamilton over the next 10 years, making sure that 1,000 of those each year are dedicated to affordable housing, creating 5,000 jobs over the next term of council as well. And so I want, in so many other platform promises that we have made, So I want people to be able to measure us against that and know that we're on pace and that we're doing the work that needs to be done, and we're doing so effectively in meeting the challenges that we have as a community, and that we are also doing a really good job of taking advantage of the great opportunities that we have, the greatest opportunity that this community has had in decades. The other thing is, I want people to see the mayor's office 4 years from now as being as open as we promised to be at the outset of this term. So I know that people do not feel that the mayor and council or that City Hall at all is relevant to them or hears them. And we have said that we are going to open up the mayor's office. I'm going to hold town halls in each and every ward across the city because I want to be open. I want people to feel that they are being heard and that they are being engaged in a way that they just aren't at this point in time. And I hope as well that the third word that I have, you know, for me as a mayor is, I think that what is attractive to people is that I'm not a politician, or I guess I am, you know, by definition a politician now, but I'm not a typical politician. I don't have the political background, and that's not what I'm offering here. I'm offering father, a leader who is trying to step up and be the change that we need to see. And one of my biggest concerns through all of this is I don't want that to change who I am. I don't want the next 4 years as mayor to change who I am. So I want people to continue to say that he is authentic. He's as authentic now as he was on day one. Those are my three words. When it comes to council, I'm going to use effective again because that is what people want and expect out of their council. So if the mayor is being effective, then that means that the rest of council is being effective as well as a body, because the mayor can't just do everything. Even if the mayor had strong mayor powers, can't do everything. So effectiveness is what people expect. That's the baseline expectation that people have of their city governance, given the amount of taxes that we pay and given how important all of the things that we do as a city are. The other thing is, I want people to see, the second word is collegial. I promise that we will be more collegial than Hamilton has probably ever seen on council. And if we can continue to be that 4 years in, you know, that's the goal, maintaining that over the course of the 4 years, being consistent in your effectiveness and in your collegiality, that's really important to me. The third word is, and it's a hybrid here, future focused. This is the most important thing, I think, that a council, and as I said, I keep saying this, a board of directors needs to be looking beyond the horizon, needs to be focused on the Hamilton of 2050 that the province is forcing us to plan for. And if we can see beyond the next election cycle, not play politics and, you know, what's going to get me elected in 2026, but instead be focused on what decisions do we need to make right now to ensure that we're on track to meeting our plan for what Hamilton is going to be in 2050, then we will, I think, be far more effective than any council has ever been in Hamilton.
Thank you. That's the end of the questions that I have for you today. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Yes, I just want to say that this has been such an incredible journey for me. I got to a point where I felt like there was only so much I could do as the president and CEO of the Hamilton Chamber of Commerce. And I grew frustrated and decided that I wanted to step up and be the change that we needed to see. And you never know how that's going to translate among the general populace of Hamilton. And I have been to hundreds of events and I've knocked on thousands of doors. And the thing I'm hearing is that there is a great desire for change at City Hall. So it wasn't just me. It is shared across the community. And what I am finding is that people of Hamilton want someone who can be the change that they want to see. They want somebody that they can rely on. They want somebody who understands the issues, as I do, having been completely enmeshed in this community over the last 13 years. They want somebody who's doing this for the right reasons, as I am, again, stepping up to be a leader so that my kids can have a brighter future, not somebody who's seeing this as a fallback option or a retirement plan. They want somebody who is raising a family right here, right now, who understands the challenges that they are facing in this community. And what I am finding is that the people of Hamilton are so amazingly generous with their time and with their opinions. And they are generally, what I've said is, regardless of politics, and you know, it's been a grind for sure, and we are starting to see, you know, a lot of mud slung our way, and I guess that can't be helped. But I've gotten the opportunity to experience my city in a way that very few people have and will ever get the opportunity to do. Meeting the people I've met, going to the places I've gone to, meeting and hearing from the organizations that do such incredible things across the entire gamut of what this community does and requires and represents. And I have fallen even more deeply in love with this city. And it's absolutely amazing. It's been an incredibly rewarding experience. And I really hope to get the opportunity to continue to lead this city into the future. We have such bright days ahead of us. We have such incredible opportunities ahead of us as well. And we have a lot of challenges. But what I'm finding is that we have everything that we need to meet those challenges right here in this community. And people just need to be empowered and brought together by a leader who understands what it is to bring people together and to have a greater impact than a small $1.2 million budget provides them. So it's going to be an exciting time for Hamilton, and I'm just looking forward to serving. And I just want to thank everybody out there for all the time, all the doors open, and just the incredible responsiveness we've gotten everywhere we've been.
This has been episode 147 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the press club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.